Hi guys, hope everyone's well and welcome back to the Improvement Podcast. In this episode, I'm going to dive into how to stay lean throughout your gaining phase. So first of all, before diving into the episode, quick update on myself. So I'm currently sitting, I believe, 15 or 16 weeks post-show. Body weight this morning was 171.6 pounds, which puts me round about 11.6 pounds up from my stage weight, which is quite a decent rate of gain. To be fair, that's kind of what we're after. With prepping, you initially want to be a bit faster out the gate. The reason being is your body fat's at an unhealthily low level, and as well as that, your ability to perform is just very poor. So you want to get things like your energy levels, your stability in the gym, your performance, your libido, your food focus all in a better spot. So you generally want to be a bit faster, but at the same time, you don't want to just fly the body weight on, because then that shortens your runway to then gradually push your body weight up over time. So there's a balancing act to be had there. But jumping into the episode, I'm going to touch on how you can basically stay lean while pushing your body weight up and putting yourself in a good position to build muscle. So obviously, with body fat, it's going to happen. You're going to gain body fat. It's going to be inevitable. It shouldn't be avoided. It should be minimized, but it's part of it. It's part of gaining. And if you try and just totally avoid doing it altogether and gaining body fat, then what will most likely occur is you'll struggle to gain much performance. You'll struggle to actually gain much muscle as a byproduct of that if you try and stay lean all the time. So it's better maybe gaining some body fat in the short term or medium term, depending on how long your gaining phase is and how long you want to kind of determine the short term. It's better looking worse to then look better if your goal is to maximize your muscle growth anyway. Because if we just stay at maintenance all the time, we're not putting ourselves in a good position to build muscle. And your progress will reflect that. So we build muscle best when we're gradually pushing our body weight up over time. Reason I say gradually is, again, you want to be gradual. If you're being too fast, then you're not going to be able to gain for as long before your body fat gets too high and you get too soft. So you want to be gradual when doing so. But generally, like, if you want to maximize your muscle growth, don't be afraid to commit to a gaining phase. And what I'd say is, if you are gradual with it, you're not going to get fat overnight. You're not gonna carry or put on a ton of body fat, and it's nothing you can't take off again anyway. So I'm gonna go over ways to minimize it. And first of all, the first way to kind of minimize it is having a gradual rate of gain. So when we are pushing our body weight up, we don't want to fly our way up very, very fast. And the reason being is, if we, let's say, are gaining a kilo a week or something along those lines, how much of that's actually going to be going towards muscle tissue? Not a lot. And the reason being is, muscle growth takes time, right? So if we are slapping on an absolute ton of body weight on our physique on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, then a larger percentage of that is going to be distributed towards body fat. A good way to look at it is, realistically, like, my stage weight this time when I competed was lighter than last time. Although I was gaining for a good 2 years in between and doing everything I can to build muscle. So that shows you the amount of muscle you realistically build isn't massive. You're not going to gain kilos in a month sort of thing. It's going to be very slow. So if, let's say, we are gaining, let's say, 1 kilogram a week, then maybe 1 or 10% of that could be muscle growth. And the other 90% of that could just be gaining body fat. Whereas if we gain, let's say, 0.25 kilos a week, then we might gain maybe 33% of that, just to give like a rough figure, as muscle. Or might be slightly less because you've got less body weight to help you perform better in the gym. But basically, the ratio between how much body fat you'll gain and muscle growth you'll gain will be more favorable. You won't gain as much body fat in the process. And if we are, like, again, slapping on a lot of weight on a weekly basis, like, realistically, that's not going to be muscle, sadly. And a good way to kind of look at things is, it can be disheartening thinking, oh, your ability to build muscle naturally is low, you're not going to gain kilos in a short space of time. But something I like to say to my clients is, imagine if you go to Aldi, Lidl, wherever you shop, you get a 2 kilogram pack of chicken. Think about how much chicken that is. Think about if you slap that on your shoulders, your arms, and your chest, they're going to look a lot bigger. And that's only 2 kilograms, if that makes sense. So you don't realistically need to gain a ton of muscle in actual weight to see like a good visual difference, if that makes sense. Like 2 kilograms, a lot in terms of muscle growth. And yeah, with rate of gain, in terms of what my recommendations would be, round about 1 to 2% of body weight a month is a not bad place to start. This can differ based on the individual. Like if someone's maybe not training super consistently, then they might want to gain slower. If they're not really nailing all their variables, their ability to build muscle will be poorer, they're missing sessions. And then again, I'd look to address your consistency before thinking about entering a gaining phase more than anything. Whereas if someone's absolutely nailing all their variables, they're absolutely all in, they're new to training, so their ability to build muscle's high, they can gain a bit faster while still maintaining quite a tidy body composition. They can get away with it. And it also depends on your start point, how lean you are. Like I said, for myself, I wanted to gain a wee bit faster out of the gate with my show, and then I'll slow it down afterwards when I've got a bit more body weight and I've got more stability about me. So, but generally, like if you're more advanced, you've been training for longer, generally a slower approach will be a bit more favorable. And what that means is if you are gaining, let's say, 0.25 kilos every week, so 1 kilo a month, let's say, versus 1 kilo a week, then the individual who's gaining that 0.25 every single week, they can gain, let's say, if they're looking to gain 10 kilograms, they can gain for 10 months. Whereas the person who is gaining for or gaining 1 kilo a week, then they realistically, to get to that same body weight, they've only got 10 weeks in a gaining phase if their top end limit is 10 kilograms they want to gain. And then from there, they either need to maintain or diet down again, which again are two positions where we're not in the best position to build muscle. So there you can see, yes, when you're sore, you might not maybe be able to push your lifts up as fast, but the runway and longevity and the amount of time you can spend gaining is absolutely massive. And we want to spend as long as possible in a surplus in comparison to at maintenance or in a deficit. Again, we want the ratio. When we're thinking about year to year, month to month, we want the amount of time we're spending gaining versus dieting heavily skewed towards gaining, meaning you want to gain the majority of the time. And again, after that 10 months, a person who's gained slower, arguably when they're 10 kilograms up, they're going to be leaner because they've had more time to push their body weight up, they've had more time to gain, which will mean they're not going to be as likely to gain as much body fat because they've been more gradual with it and they've gave themselves more time to progress their lifts. So I think a gradual rate of gain is absolutely key, and that's what I'd recommend. And when you're thinking about rate of gain, like don't stress if it's a bit faster 1 week and then maybe a bit too slow the other. We're just thinking over kind of a long period of time. But yeah, round about the 1 to 2% of body weight a month's a good place to be. So that means if let's say someone's, or for myself, 170 pounds, I'll look to gain kind of 1.7 pounds on a monthly basis. That's a good spot for me to be in. And in terms of my next point, it's going to be the management of your off-plan meals. So what I mean by off-plan meal, it's commonly referred to as like a cheat meal. I don't like referring it to a cheat meal because if you're in a gaining phase, if it is planned out, if you have it within your calories, then it's not cheating on your diet, and I think that can potentially create an unhealthy relationship or association with food, if that makes sense. But the management of your offline meals is something super important because when we think about what position we build muscle best in, as I touched on, it's when we're in a gradual surplus, when we're in a calorie surplus. And if, let's say, we're having a massive spike in body weight one day, and in the rest of the week we're at maintenance because we're pushing our body weight up through the off-plan meal, then we're not in a gradual surplus. We're not in a best position to build muscle for those 6 days out of the week. So instead of having your maintenance calories for 6 days and then making your body weight jump up a fair bit on that other, what I'd recommend someone does is just make sure they're being a bit more accurate with how they are factoring in those off plan meals, how they are handling them so they can ideally roughly maintain their body weight throughout them. And what that will again lead to is being able to maintain a better body composition, have better performance the rest of the week because they're in a gradual surplus and putting themselves in a good position to build muscle. And when you are having like an off plan meal or eating out, the timing of your food will make a difference to your body weight. How much sodium or salt is in the food will influence your body weight, how much fiber is in the meal, and like I said, like how close you're having it to like bedtime, for example. So a lot of things will influence what your weight will do after an off plan meal. A good way to know if you've handled it well is if it spikes up after, that's not the end of the world, that's fine. But see if it stays up, then that's maybe a problem. Meaning if you have an off plan meal and then your body weight then goes up, let's say a good couple of pounds, but then it doesn't come back down, that's a sign you've most likely overate during that off plan meal. Whereas when you have an off plan meal, let's say your body weight spikes up, but the next few days comes back down and it's roughly what the same as it was before, or maybe it's up very, very slightly, then that's good management of that off plan meal. So you can kind of use the scale to help arm your to help kind of give you the awareness of how effectively you've handled that off plan meal or that meal out or meal you've made at home that you're not maybe tracking. And then you can use that when you're heading into future off plan meals, when you're having meals in the future, to then arm your decision making on right, how much calories is this when you're estimating it, and kind of use that as data, because some people maybe not weigh themselves after an off plan meal. But I think it can be good, one, for accountability, and two, to help give you the knowledge and awareness of how you've handled it so you can know how to handle it when you go into kind of future off plan meals. Like if you like going to a certain restaurant, for example, you like getting a certain dish, you have it, your weight's up 2 kilos, it stays there, and you've obviously overate a ton. Whereas if it comes back down, then you know, right, I've handled that well. I saved this amount of calories before going into that off plan meal, so you then know you've handled it effectively. And yeah, when you're having an off plan meal, factor it into your calories. So what I'll do is, if I'm, let's say, going out for quite like a big meal or that, or relaxing a little, I'll not just not eat throughout the day. I'll still get protein sources in with each meal. I'll still get a fruit and veg in with each meal, and I'll just typically take the carbohydrates or fats out of those meals for the other half of the day or the other meals of the day, and take out how much I need to then be able to roughly maintain my body weight or roughly gain very slightly or basically hit my current calorie goal, and again estimating it the best you can. And that will again mean I've got a nice gradual controlled rate of gain while still being able to relax, have that mental break of having an off plan meal, which have their place. Because if you try and go through like how you should be on the ball during your gaining phase, like a gaining phase, as much as it's a time where you are eating more food, you could be a bit more relaxed. A good practice is treat your gaining phases like dieting phases, meaning same consistency regarding your training, with your sleep, with your hydration. A lot of people get into a dieting phase and they'll flip the switch and they'll be really consistent all of a sudden, but we want that consistency before even heading into that dieting phase, ideally. Or sorry, yeah, we want that when we're gaining, because again, if we just flip the switch and be consistent when we are dieting, then that means when we are in a good position to build muscle, we're not actually nailing our variables, and as a result, the amount of muscle we will build will be subpar. So next up is lack of accuracy. So this is not referring to kind of off plan meals per se, but more so just like your base diet. So when it comes to your nutrition, if you've got a calorie goal or that, or you're just eating maybe similar foods on a daily basis to try and gradually take your body weight up, sometimes people can forget wee things here and there, and can become a bit complacent with their tracking accuracy. What I mean by that is they might be consuming some high calorie sauces that they're not accounting into their calorie intake with. They might be having wee bites in food here and there from their partner, from their parents, trying out certain things that they're not tracking, and maybe not tracking certain foods as a whole, just thinking, ah, it's not got that much calories in it. I'll just have a wee squares bar here, or I'll have this wee drink here. Like even like a lower calorie, like fizzy juice, like, you know what I mean, 60 calories from a Vimto or whatever, and then you're having those high calorie sauces. Like they cannot, and maybe a bit of milk in your coffee or a bit of sugar in it as well. Like that can add up, and that can be like the difference between a good 200 calories on a daily basis. And then before you know it, that week you've gained more than you've planned. Again, basically decreasing your runway and the amount of time you can spend gradually gaining body weight, and limiting how much progress you can make throughout your gaining phase. So make sure you don't get complacent with your accuracy, with your tracking. You could argue if you keep things exact same on a daily basis, you don't need to track it. What I mean by that is if someone's always having the exact same amount of sauce on a meal, etc., and they do it in the same fashion, then you don't need to track it, but it also doesn't do you much harm in doing so. People say, oh, tracking or weighing things out, so much hassle. It takes 5 seconds. You just pop some a container on a scale and then weigh it out when you're doing it. So it doesn't take that much effort really in the grand scheme of things, especially if you're already committing a lot of time to training hard, sleeping well. Like an extra 5 seconds on a scale is not gonna harm you an awful lot. So yeah, make sure you're being mindful of all these things that you might not be accounting for. And also, like weighing things out is a great idea, especially when you're like when you are weighing food via, let's say, a cup or a tablespoon or a teaspoon. That's a very broad metric. How big is the cup? How big is the tablespoon? How big is the teaspoon? They can vary in size. As well as that, like if I got peanut butter from downstairs, if I get a teaspoon, I could just have like a level teaspoon, just, you know what I mean, with not a lot of peanut butter on it, or I could fit as much as I possibly could on that teaspoon. Both are still a teaspoon. Both are the same on paper. But I could probably double or triple the calories if I tried to get as much on that spoon as possible. So try and make sure that when you are tracking certain foods, you are being as accurate as you can, you are weighing things out. And I'd also always go by kind of weighing things out in comparison to using measurements like a cup, etc. Unless, again, you use the exact same cup and the exact same manner when you are tracking certain things. But yeah, the less kind of. This will obviously apply when you're dieting too, so you can make sure you get your predicted rate of loss. But the less kind of moving parts, the better when it comes to being able to accurately take your body up or down, really. And next up, this point isn't diet related, but it's just training stupidly hard. Like if you are going in the gym, you are going for the motions with your training, you're not going to be giving your body the demand to build muscle. Whereas if you are training like your life depends on it, really nailing your sleep, and every time you go in the gym, you're ensuring progression in your lifts, then you are giving your body that stimulus it needs to make muscle growth take place for muscle growth to happen. So, if two individuals, maybe exact same start point, exact same body composition, are entering a gaining phase, one person is training extremely hard, the other person, they're being a bit more complacent because they're not dieting anymore, they're not taking their sets all the way to failure, or their desired proximity to failure, meaning one rep from failure, two reps for failure. If they're not being honest with that, then again they're gonna be more likely to gain more of that body weight towards body fat. So give the demand for muscle growth to take place. Give the demand for muscle growth to happen on your frame. Kind of force muscle growth to take place by applying progressive overload, which is just basically increasing the amount of tension you're placing bone to bone through improving your form, more reps, more load, which you should always start with improving your form if that's something you can do. And then your progress will reflect that. Because again, it's like what builds muscle? Yes, like having a gradual surplus helps us build muscle, but if we've not got the demand in terms of in the gym, then we're not really going to be able to do so that effectively. And also, another point is don't be afraid to hold your body weight. So when we're thinking about a gaining phase, don't just think 1 week to week, because we're not in a gaining phase for a few weeks. We're in a gaining phase month to month over like a longer period of time. So when assessing, and as I touched on earlier, your body weight's not always going to go up perfectly. We're not robots. Sometimes you'll be more active, sometimes you'll be less active, regardless if your steps are the same. For example, if I am doing 6 personal training sessions in a day versus and moving 20 kilogram plates backwards and forwards for folk on the leg press, and if I am alternatively just sat at a desk but I get up and then I go a walk and get my 10,000 steps in, those 2 days are going to be quite different in terms of expenditure, because although I'm still hitting the same steps, if I'm standing for 6 hours during PT, moving a lot of weights around, I'm still going to be burning a lot more calories. So bear that in mind. And also what that basically means is, like, don't stress if it's not a perfect rate of gain. You gain slightly more or gain slightly less 1 week. What I'll basically do is, like, when I'm assessing should I make changes for our client, I'm not just looking at that past week, because they could have gained, let's say, the last 3 weeks, 3 kilos, and then that week there they might have lost 0.2 kilos. And then if I just looked at that week and thought, oh, their body weight's down, they need a food increase, then they've already gained much more than we predict we are ideally want throughout that week, month. So instead, you can then hold your body weight for a few weeks. You can then just kind of marinate that current body comp. In other words, let things tidy up round about maintenance. So don't be quick making changes. Take your time, assess what's happening, not just within the last week, but within the last few weeks, and then make changes over kind of a lot longer period of time. And that will again allow you to not get kind of too soft too quick. And what you can do is you can use, like, apps like Happy Scale or Google Sheets to then gather averages and see what your body weight's doing, because again, we want to gather averages. Our body weight will naturally fluctuate, so you shouldn't just take one weigh-in on one day of the week and think, oh, that's what my weight is, and then base all your decisions off it, because it could just be a random time your body weight fluctuated down or maybe up. So instead, I'd say weighing yourself at least 3 times a week is not a bad idea. Doing it daily is not a bad idea either, unless you've got, like, a really unhealthy relationship with the scale. And the reason being is it allows you to gather averages. And if you do it every day, the reason why that can be valuable, see if I tell you do it Monday, Thursday, Saturday, you kind of forget because you're not in the routine of doing it daily. Whereas if you're doing it every single day, you usually don't forget, and it makes it a lot more likely for you to make sure you've got that data at the end of the week, so you can assess if you need changes made. So hope you've enjoyed the episode. Any questions or any topics you'd like me to cover or guests you'd like me to have on, then just give me a shout and I'll happily consider it. And if you did enjoy the podcast, then any support is massively appreciated as always, and hope everyone has a great rest of their day.